Need to unmute, Desiree.
My apologies. Let me start that again. Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's noon step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Desiree and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distraction to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Sharon to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Sharon. I am an alcoholic. Can you hear me now? Okay. I'm Sharon. I am an alcoholic. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Today, we will hear a talk on steps 4 and 5 with a focus on resentments. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Please give a warm welcome to Nil and Till from Detroit, Michigan.
Hi, everybody. And thank you so much for that welcome and for that introduction. And thank you so much to Sharon, my sister in sobriety, for inviting me here today. I am a grateful recovered alcoholic who is properly armed with the facts about myself And the reason why I say recovered is because on the first page of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. I do realize that this is alcoholism and not alcoholism, but I'm a steps, traditions, and concepts, three legacy individual who has a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor. We actively read, reread, and work within the steps and the traditions weekly. And I've been able to say that this program does work for me since I have been working it. God's grace and all of you, one day at a time, I've been able to put together 20 years of uninterrupted, unbroken sobriety as of May 8th. Last drink, rest in peace. You know, they told me when I got here that it was important for me to make the meetings like I drank. And when I first heard that, I thought that that meant that I was going to have to move in, that I was going to have to bring a backpack and a sleeping bag, because I drank all of the time. And work, my office was the bar, the nightclub, the restaurants. Okay. And when you do what I do and do it how I do it, drinking meant everything to me. It was how we celebrated. It was how we grieved. It was how we bonded. It was how I talked myself out of doing things that I probably didn't want to do, or talked myself out of doing things that would probably get me arrested if I did them. drinking was everything. It was foreplay. I figured I had to have at least one or two drinks before I decided that I even liked you. And I don't know if you're an alcoholic like me, but I made a regular habit out of finding an ugly man and drinking until he looked good. Because sitting on a bar stool and crossing my legs was a regular part of my drinking habits. I had a mantra that somebody was going to have to pay for it all, and it wasn't going to be me. But y'all know that it was me, right? Y'all know that it was me. And I paid dearly. I paid dearly. You were going to tell me that alcohol was more powerful than me. But I had to have a well whooped up enough of an ass, like my sponsor calls it, to understand that I had to come through these doors and sit down and humble. And one of the steps that we have to do is to write about it. Write about how I got here. Everything. Everyone. Every incident, every idea, every concept, every principle, every institution that pissed me off ever. Write it down. And talk to somebody about it. Talk to somebody about it so that I can be free of it. So one of the things that I like to do, and just for simplicity, because again, I don't know if you're an alcoholic like me, but it helps to have everything broken all the way down in its most simplistic form. This is a simple program. We're just a whole lot of complicated folks. One of the things that was told to me, and I will never forget this, about making the list, and just to take the big, green, hairy, scary out of it, write down, just start with the list. Everyone that you didn't like, even if it's that nosy neighbor across the street or that kid back in the third grade that took your lunch, write it down. Just start there. Now, I don't know if you're an alcoholic like me, but that was a pretty comprehensive list. Matter of fact, now that I get to sponsor women in the program, every single time I do a horse step with them, I get another resentment. It pops back up like a whack-a-mole. Remember that whack-a-mole game at the arcade where you have to bash it back down? I get resentments that I forgot that I even had. And I'm like, oh crap, now I got to probably make an amends there now, you know? But what I was told that really helped simplify it for me was make the list as though you were going grocery shopping. The most effective way to make that grocery list, if one were to go grocery shopping, is to take a look in the refrigerator, take a look in the cabinets and in your pantry. See what we're short of that we have to take stock of. That kind of simplifies things, does it not? If I know that I'm not going to be that great in the morning if I don't have oatmeal or coffee, I need to put coffee and oatmeal on the list. I need to check the bathroom. Do I need to get some more cleanser? Do I need to get some more moisturizer, some soap or deodorant? Then we make the list because it's credits and debits, it's assets and liabilities. But first of all, we have to put down what it says that we didn't like. We have to get down to the causes and the conditions. What it was that he did, what it was that he said. And I gotta tell you that when I started to put that crap on a list, I probably came up with at least 450 things without coming up for air. You know, every single teacher in elementary school, and I was Catholic school, I had a resentment against. What my mother did, what my father did, what my mother didn't do, what my father didn't do, or didn't say or say. I was restless and irritable and discontent because we had every single cereal in the pantry, but I was restless and irritable and discontent because we didn't have Captain Crunch with the Crunch Berries. I was an over-entitled kid who had to have what I wanted when I wanted it, and God help you if you got in my way. And that was one of the reasons why I got in trouble because I even got in front of a judge that told me that you can't drink for a year. And I said, screw that judge. I'm going to do what I want. And I did. So I don't know if you're an alcoholic like me, but one of anything is never going to be enough. There's always going to have to be another and then another and then another because I'm selfish. So, of course, I had to have DUI number two while I was still on probation for DUI number one. And that cost me 90 days of my freedom and made me convinced that I needed to have a seat in here and take a look at the selfishness, at the self-centeredness, at the self-pity, at the self-delusion, the self-seeking, the self-pity that it talks about on page 86, and all of the self will run riot. So after I turned my will over and got to the steps, got into step four, I had to write down what does it affect? And I was taught that we write down all of these things, including pride. And where do we get pride from? Because at the bottom of page 65, where it says my wife, it says pride. Now, I'm a very prideful person. I'm a very vain, very egotistical person. And a lot of that pride, a lot of that ego, I had to really grapple with on this side of sobriety many, many, many years later. I'm going to give you an example. I think you can see what this is, right? I think most of us know what that is. If you don't, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a hotel room key. You'd be surprised at what a husband might put in his pocket after a few drinks, only for his wife to have to discover later when she's the one that does the laundry and the dry cleaning. Those were the types of things that I had to have some acceptance with. Those were some of the things that I had to do inventory with on this side of sobriety several years later. What was my part in it? I met him in a bar. I gave him free passes and expected loyalty later. What does that say about me? You know, I have to be accountable today. I have to take responsibility for me today. I have to fact find and I have to fact face today. And that's a process that's going to be continuous. I have to continue to take personal and searching inventory every single day. But when we first get to this, when we first start out, I was talking about the list in the kitchen. There are certain things we have to do daily. Like maybe wash the dishes. There are certain things we have to do weekly. You know, certain things we have to do monthly, maybe even biannually or annually. Check for cobwebs in the corner. There's a little door under the toaster that we have to check for crumbs and get rid of stuff before we set a fire in the kitchen in there, you know? I once heard a story about somebody who found a carcass of a dead mouse in their toaster. Don't want that to be me. We have to do some housekeeping. And the old timers, you know, in that vision for you, when they talk about cannot transmit what you haven't got, you got to keep your own house in order. They took that literally. They would say to you, well, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? Have you done this today? Organize your sock drawer. And we would be like, our sock drawer? Practicing these principles and all of my theories even leads to my sock drawer, my underwear drawer. I've got to have those things in order too. What an order, right? They told me when I got here that all of those things, the attic, the basement, we have to see, what do I have that I can keep? What do I have that I need to toss? What do I have that I can give away? See, all of that is inventory. You might say, well, I'm not going to clean the driveway. It's just going to get dirty again. Well, are you not going to wash the dishes because those are just going to get dirty again? Are you not going to wash your underwear because they're just going to get dirty again? We have to continuously work this step and do regular house cleaning. There may be somebody here that doesn't have a house of their own. I see you, and I've been there too. Not having a lease, not having a mortgage of your own, that is homeless in my book. I'm not judging anybody. Keep coming back. And you soon will have what we say are miracles that will manifest themselves for you. And we get to talk about all of this stuff and disclose all of this stuff to somebody and understand that we're not alone. Whatever is damaged, whatever is unsaleable, whatever it is that we need to get rid of, we can talk it over with somebody else. Some of that stuff that you thought that you might need to get rid of might be valuable collectibles that need to go on eBay if you look at it different. Sometimes we need a sponsor to kind of put that in perspective for us, you know? Let me tell you something else that is inventory that we're carrying around with us. These phones. These are smartphones. We're not necessarily smart people, but this is inventory. You can keep track of how many meetings that you make. You can bookmark your AA.org and read from your apps or read from the websites, from your 12 and 12, from your big book, from your as-built sees it. See, that's inventory. You can communicate with your sponsees or with other people in the program. That's inventory. Doing your prayers, your meditations, reading from your Bible, your Quran, your Torah, whatever. That's inventory. Sending out gratitude. Before we find all the things that we can find to complain about, I don't know if you're an alcoholic like me, but I have to take inventory regularly of the things that I will find to complain about. Like all the crap that I have to put away or put in the furniture or put in the refrigerator. I am very fortunate to have all of this stuff, and I try to find reasons to complain about it. Who gets to play Tetris with their refrigerator trying to figure out where everything's going to fit? That's a blessing. I have to remember there's a lot of people who are struggling, and their struggle might be with food. And I'm complaining about that. Resentment is the number one offender that it tells me. And I'm trying to find all these things to resent that I don't have to. And they told me resentment is when you resend the feelings about that. I want to be free. When I want to be free, there's a ritual that I have to ask myself. Why am I angry? Why am I holding on to that? I've got the nerve to be in this meeting calling myself nil until, and I'm holding on to that. I have to let it go. I have to spiritually connect with the higher power of my understanding that I turned my will over to in step three. And talk about it with somebody in step five and become entirely ready to let it go after I take stock of what it is that I value and what it is that is unsaleable. And I have to get out of the way and stop playing God about this stuff, you know, and blaming everybody else. I don't know about you, but the alcoholic like me was the one who said, well, you would drink too, and you would be angry too. And if he did what he did, and he said what he said, and everything is everybody else's fault. Yeah. But what I've learned is that that's a choice. And I can choose to be happy, and I can choose to be unhappy, and that is entirely up to me. That choice and knowing how to be able to flex it, I've learned with guidance that that's my superpower, because my toxic trait can be to hold on to that stuff, even in sobriety. And I have to be very, very careful with that. I can be responsible to you, but I'm not responsible for you. But I am responsible for me, my attitudes, how I choose to feel, whether I act, whether I inact. Those are things that I have choice in the matter in today. And when I inventory that, I realize that that is something that I can bring to others. And that is something that I have that I can give away. One of the things that I try to give away when it comes to the things that I have is the message of hope. They told me that hope was happy our program exists. Happy our program exists. I'm so happy that this program exists, this program that saved my life. And one of the things that I was able to do was, what could I do better? What could I do different? Those arresting officers in my DUI, I realized were my guardian angels. I was able to go back and actually thank them. I ran into some of the deputies in public, and I actually have been able to go up to them and say to them, listen, I remember you. I used to be at the Oakland County Resorts and Spas. I can laugh about that today. The promises are working for me. Hey, I don't have to shut the door. I don't have to shut the door on it, right? I can joke about it. And to think about that, I get to be here with you, and I get to be here with people who can actually bond with that. Isn't that amazing? I get to give it away. And one of the things that I like to take the opportunity to do is talk about the willingness that you have to have that are in these steps. And once the willingness starts to manifest for us, there's nothing that we can't do, and we don't have to do it alone. I have a really great sponsor. And one of the things that she reminds me about is that we get to be uniquely us. We're not necessarily so uniquely different, because we have to concentrate not so much on how we are different from each other, but how much we are alike. And one of the things that AA has done for me is that it's interwoven itself into so many areas of my life. And one of the things that I like to do creatively is write poetry. And I wrote a particular poem that I would like to share with you. And I'm going to repeat this for some and introduce this to others. It's basically about how I got here, and it's a walk through the steps. Greetings of faith, wisdom, and hope. I come to bring it, I come to spread it. Happy, joyous, and free. Just like the old timers and the ancestors would be. In the rooms, at the tables, whenever they let it. So when things cross my mind, I write, I rewrite, I type. I rewrite, I underline, I type, I cross out, and I edit. Experience, strength, hope, shown. Love and tolerance, homegrown and sewn. Into a needle whose eye is golden threaded. The conceit, the deceit, my prison of isms, my ego, all of that had to be shredded. But I was not yet convinced though. So I went back out into the world so that I could search and research some more I dreaded. And that trap door at what should have been my bottom was how back into these rooms I retreaded. But that physical craving of thirst was unquenchable, and I just had to wet it. I must have been confused, thinking that I could use and abuse. After a judge said it, it was to death or to jail I was headed. I found myself hospital bedded with a blood alcohol content of 0.2 when they read that. But that physical craving of thirst was unquenchable, and I just had to wet it. The mental obsession in my mind had an appetite like I hadn't fed it. It was a manifestation of an allergy. It was itching, it was scratching, and I self-medicated. A spiritual malady, serpent-like, it was multiplying. I poked it, I prodded, I bred it. The snake skin that I was in, it was growing, and I needed to shed it. I was in a situation that we all know is called desperation, so I was down for whatever you suggested. So first things first, I conceded, I surrendered, completely defeated, I admitted. I made a decision that I wanted it, that I was ready and willing to go to any length I had to go to get it. I was powerless and I wasn't managing anything. And you said to find me a higher power and let it. I was given a warm welcome, gifted some numbers and given a big book. And then I sat down, I shut up and I read it. I circled, I highlighted, I underlined. I took notes just as you suggested. I learned that my thinking was messed up, and anything that I think that I know aside, I had to set it. And if I had an attitude other than gratitude at the door, I quickly had to check it. I was taught all of the steps and their prayers, and in my heart and mind and soul, they became embedded. I even confronted the wreckage of my past. And today, I no longer regret it. One day at a time. And to this concept, I am truly indebted because I learned that we cannot have not even one drink. In God's grace, may we all never forget it. We can't have not one drink. In God's grace, may we all never forget it. Please don't choose to pick up like I did, because if you were to, you would lose everything if you were to bet it. We can't have not one drink. In God's grace, may we all never forget it. We can't have not one drink. And for this poem, it's God whom I give to all of the credit. On this side of sobriety, I've had more tragedy happen to me than anything I've ever poured a drink on. I lost a brother to this disease. The disease had him put a bullet in himself. I didn't have to drink. I had that on my resentment list for a very long time because I brought him to his first meeting and I wanted him to stay. Why couldn't he stay? But with the steps, with the help of another fellow alcoholic, with the help of an almighty, infinite God, I was able to work through that resentment. My baby died in sobriety. I resented that. God, why would you let the first pregnancy that I ever had not make it? Why would you allow something like that so awful to happen? But I was able to work through that because of the hope that we have in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and with one another. See, you all told me that I didn't drink because of the drink. I drank because of the underlying causes and conditions and because of my thinking. That was really what I had to look at. I had to really get to the core of what was it that DJ Neil Until was pouring those drinks on top of. And it was because I didn't want to have to feel, not for an instance, anything that I didn't want to. But I get to feel all of the feels today and know that it's okay. And we get to have the conversations, no matter how painful, no matter how uncomfortable, and we get to do it together, hand in hand, with the help of a higher power. That's what this is all about, us doing it together. Once we look at all of this stuff and all that stuff that we thought that we did that we didn't want to hit the air, if there's a name for it, it's been done. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to a sponsor and they're like, oh my God, I did this and I did that and I didn't want to talk. I was like, girl, wait till you hear what I did. Squashes all of that. We don't have to be alone. We don't have to be alone. And we can give God the credit. I hope that something that I have said has imparted on somebody's sobriety today and maybe help you had another 24 hours. Thank you again. I'm Neil Until.